If Davy Byrne starts running, lads, with the ball, there's absolutely no chance of me catching him. I don't think if I drove a Fiesta after him, I'd catch him.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy. Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Okay, Littlewoods this week launched the 2021 Littlewoods Ireland Camogie Leagues and Cork's four-time All-Ireland winner, 2020 captain, Amy O'Connor, I'm delighted to say, joins us on the line. Good morning to you, Amy.
Morning, thanks, William, for having me.
Between COVID, obviously, and the uncertainty around everything around the resumption of the Camogie, very odd season, I suspect, to have been preparing for over the last while.
Yeah, it was definitely a bit of an odd one. It was something that I actually found easier than last year's lockdown. I just felt that this year there was a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. We knew we were going to get back, you know, with the rollout of the vaccines, and the numbers started to kind of get a bit better and there was a bit more positivity in the air. So I found it a bit better in that I knew it was going to happen. We just needed to be patient about it. Whereas last year, I felt that there was so much uncertainty around it and we weren't really sure if it would go ahead. You know, you were training for, essentially, you didn't really know what you were training for. But at least this time, it was going to happen, but it was just a matter of when.
Yeah, you're very politely... focus on the COVID aspect of the weird preparation for the season. What have you made of everything that's gone on over the last while between the original decision and the survey and everything that's happened? What have you made of it all?
Obviously, it wasn't ideal preparation going into a league, and I think we were pretty vocal in Cork about how we felt about it. But I'm glad that the association took the feedback on board. I'm glad also that everyone had their say. You know, as international players, we had our say a couple of months back. And with a resounding split season kind of is what we were looking for. And I'm glad that the clubs also had their choice to, or their chance to give their feedback on it as well, in terms of the poll this week. So very positive that it has now been resolved. And we're all just looking forward to getting back on the pitch. That's what we all want to do.
Yeah, and we'll talk a bit about the Tipperary game in a little bit. But just to focus on that for a minute, did you decided as a squad you weren't going to play if they were going to go ahead with the originally planned season?
I think that, like, we made it very clear from the get-go. We were probably more vocal than other counties about it, you know, with the interviews that went out last week from Paddy Murray and from Laura Tracy. You know, we were very vocal from the beginning what our stance on the whole thing was, especially in the media over the last few days and in the last week. So we were very clear on what our intentions were.
So how did is that a series of Zoom meetings where you decide, listen, this isn't good enough and it's not good enough for us to stand by?
I think, like, there was great input as well from the GPA, and credit is fierce due to them as well. You know, it was their first kind of major thing since we became one, you know, the WGPA kind of becoming one with the GPA. So it was their first kind of major thing that they had to deal with. And I think they did an exceptional job in communicating to all other counties. You know, there was regular Zoom calls with the player reps and so on. And I think, like, with Cork, it wasn't something we focused on too much. We turned off the training, we were there to train, we weren't there to discuss the fixtures, we weren't there to do anything else, you know. And it was at the back of our minds when we were training, you know, wasn't something that we thought of too much. We didn't speak about it too much either, you know, in terms of, like, we didn't want to leave it distract us, we wanted the Camogie and all that side of things. So look, it's been resolved, which is really positive. And we're just looking forward to getting out onto the pitch.
But you obviously felt strongly enough that, like, taking that stand, as you say, it wasn't something that every county decided to do. So I presume it wasn't done lightly, and you knew that a county with the tradition of Cork and the magnitude and the size of the county, that was going to in itself be a statement. So yeah, just can you talk us a little bit through about how that came about and how it came about and what the thinking was?
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily that other counties decided to do one thing and other counties decided to do another. I think it was like a collective kind of discussion amongst the WGPA or the GPA reps over a number of calls, as I said. And with Cork, again, I said, it wasn't something we dwelled too much. We were very clear on what our thoughts on it were. And the vote has now been done. And, you know, it's brilliant that it has passed now, and that the Camogie Association were willing to kind of take a step back and look at the feedback that they received around it. But yeah, as I said, it wasn't something we tried to dwell on too much. Like, we're there to play Camogie, we're not there to do anything else, you know. But again, I'd like to commend the GPA on that, around how they handled it with the player reps from each of the squads.
Yeah.
And it was just that, I suppose, as well, look, when I say that Cork were more vocal, there was interviews during the week that kind of highlighted how we felt about it. Other counties also probably felt the same way, but they just didn't want to come out with it, you know.
Yeah,
and that's fair enough too.
But the easy thing to do in that scenario is just to say, you know, in that scenario, before it gets resolved, say, listen, you know, we don't know, we've no control, we just want to focus on the game. But you chose, and it's to Cork's credit, like you chose the easier option was there, and you chose, you didn't choose that.
I know, like it's not to Cork's credit or anything like that. I'm sure that other counties had strong feelings on it as well. They just felt that they didn't want to put it out there. But I know we put it out there, and it's done now, thank God.
As you say, like there is absolute credit, and we've been speaking about it on the radio during the week, due to Camogie Ireland for the Camogie Association for making that decision in the end, that they stalled and obviously reversed. Was it a sign for you? And I, like, it's maybe difficult to tell or a hard one to answer, but was it a sign for you that the merger, the GPA merger, is actually working?
Yeah, I think it's nothing but positivity since that GPA merger took place. The GPA, you know, or the WGPA and GPA, you know, it's really positive step. We're moving in the right direction. Maybe someday we'll be under the one umbrella as the GA. And I think it definitely shows that it is working, you know. It was their first real test, I suppose, as in single association, the WGPA and GPA. And again, as I said, they handled it impeccably well, communicated very well throughout the entire process to all counties. And obviously we're very grateful to part of that association as well, and it's important that associations are in place for players. So yeah, hopefully, look, it shows that there is a positive element to kind of coming together as one, male and female, and hopefully in the future we will amalgamate, or not amalgamate, but come together with the GAA and the LGFA and become one, because I think it could only benefit women in sport if we do that.
The power of that would be exceptional, wouldn't it? I mean, like even the announcement on the funding in the last sort of 10 days, like it makes it harder to continue with the norm, like the awful norm, when actually everybody's in the same boat.
Yeah, definitely. I think, as I said, it could only benefit women, especially in sport. If we become one, you know, like the communications would improve. We'd all be under the one umbrella. And again, I think the funding kind of slightly went under the radar a bit due to all the controversy this week. Now, it was still fairly out there, but I do think that it's such a vital part now, and it was so important for us to receive that funding. And it actually came as a bit of a surprise, I think, to some people. So it's brilliant to see we'll be funded equally, players and ladies footballers with the men, which is so positive. And as a result of that, it can only improve our game, you know. Players will become better players because of it. More funding will be available to do X, Y, and Z. So all positive, thank God.
Yeah, and I do think that it's some strong Cork voices, I might say, that resulted in that. Dernagh Sullivan being one of them over the last couple of years, who really drew attention to the issue. Were you one of those players, Amy, who was effectively out of pocket in the way it was?
I'd say every intercounty camogie player or ladies footballer is probably out of pocket in some way. And like, we play because we love the game. We don't play because we want money for mileage or, you know, a sponsorship deal or anything like that. That's not why people play, or that's why GAA players play. But yeah, I think every female athlete playing GAA is probably out of pocket to a certain extent when playing intercounty, either Gaelic football or intercounty camogie. And I just have to look at my own dressing room. Like, I look at Libby Coppinger. She's from West Cork. Probably 2 hours to training and back. She's playing Jewel. I can only imagine what it is for her, like week on week, like cost. It must be phenomenal. I'd say it's practically a mortgage, I'd say, at this stage for her. And like other players on our team, like Aisling Thompson, traveling from Newtown Chandrum, probably an hour, 15 minutes to training 3 times a week, 4 times a week, if we're in the height of championship. You know, it's an awful lot of cost associated with it. I'm lucky, I live in the city. I'm generally 9 times out of 10 fairly close to training. Might only take me 30 minutes in traffic, you know. I'm very, very lucky to be from the city and living in the city and being close to training 9 times out of 10, but a lot of our girls aren't, and it's really positive to see that those changes are now being made.
Yeah, it's the last thing you need to be stressing about when you're trying to get your game in order and get your fitness up.
Yeah, and I'd say over the years there's been some amount of talent lost in counties around the country, you know, because people can't afford to play intercounty, you know. Like, if I was travelling 4 times a week to Cork from West Cork, like Libby is, you know, that's really difficult. Some people wouldn't be able to afford that financially, you know. And then you're probably losing some talent along the way because of that, because people just couldn't commit to because of the cost associated with it. So really positive to see that the extra funding has been allocated to female GAA players now. And as I said, it'll only benefit the game going forward.
Yeah, some work done and more to do, and we'll come back to that again, I've no doubt, down the track. Paddy Murray was telling us as recently as Monday, Amy, that before the news of the poll, obviously, that and the passing of the split season, that he didn't expect this weekend's games to be going ahead, and he wasn't getting ready for Tip. I was wondering how much of that we should believe. Surely you were preparing away regardless?
Well, I think in Cork, we'd always hold ourselves to a high standard, and, you know, while that was kind of the whole thing that was going on, you know, and we would always train as if we were playing tomorrow, you know what I mean? We'd always be preparing for a game. If the game did happen, we would have been prepared. If the game didn't happen, we would have been prepared, you know. So again, in Cork, as I said, we always hold ourselves to the highest standards, and we'd always be ready for whatever life or camogie might throw at us, and prepare for the unexpected all of the time. So I think regardless of what would have happened, we would have been preparing for the game anyway, in terms of like our training sessions would have continued as intense as possible, as intense as ever, you know.
And that, on that standard, it seems to be, I mean, look, it's hard to tell because the way the seasons have cropped up over the last 15 months, in that the league obviously didn't get completed last year, and you know, the way everything was impacted. But the standard does seem to be, insofar as we can tell, of form lines over the last while, a little bit ahead of bit ahead of Tipperary, do you think?
I think that would be unfair to say. Tip are a great team, you know, and they're only getting better year on year. I think they had, was it 3 or 4 All-Stars last year, which is year, and, you know, adding additions to the squad. Like, I know last year they had a couple of footballers who played that wouldn't normally have played in a previous year. But like, in terms of Cork standards, as I said, we hold ourselves to the highest of standards of all time, all of the time, sorry. And like, we don't really focus on anyone else's standards. We're setting the standard for ourselves, and we'd look more so at that. And I've no doubt that the game at the weekend will be a huge test for us and a huge test for Tipperary, just to see where we're both at. Both very good teams, both made the semi-final last year and just didn't make that extra leap to the final. So we're both kind of relatively in the same place in terms of that. So we're looking forward to the game, looking forward to seeing where we're at, because while we were training all along by ourselves, and then while we were training for the last weeks of the team, you never really know until you get out onto a pitch.
Even in terms of like a starting 15, even in terms of starting 15, in that, like, obviously you had a big departure last year and there's loads of new players coming in, like, it's hard to, isn't it? Like, it's hard to actually know what the team is or how you're going until you actually get out there, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. As you said, we had lots of departures last year, and some very notable ones, like Gemma O'Connor, you know, probably the greatest camogie player of all time. Leave your dressing room, that's not an easy hole to fill. And then the likes of Pamela Mackey and Julia White as well, you know, they're big names in camogie. So yes, look, we lost them, but we've brought on some really young, talented players, chomping at the bit to get their opportunity. And I'm sure that Paddy Murray will give them all a fair go and their fair opportunity throughout the league. And I'd say, look, as you said, starting 15, who knows what the starting 15 will be. We've only been together 3 weeks, if even, at this stage. So it'll be just interesting to see where we're at with that.
Yeah. All right. Look, best of luck this weekend, Amy. Best of luck for the season ahead. We'll watch with interest. Thanks a million for talking to us.
Thanks a million.
If Davy Byrne starts running, lads, with the ball, there's absolutely no chance of me catching him. I don't think if I drove a Fiesta after him, I'd catch him.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy. Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.